It is to your benefit, those who are here. It is to the loss of those who are not here. In life, as quite many of us understand, the interpretation we give to things determines a lot in respect to how we relate to that thing, how we accept or reject that thing, the interpretation, the sense or the meaning we get out of what we have seen, what has happened, that determines a lot. And interpretation does not relate only to things we read verbally. Interpretation relates also to our experience. How will you weigh it? How will you assess what you have seen, what you have heard? Do we have the intelligence and the common sense to weigh things properly? Let me illustrate. There are many of us here that things have happened to us, and we are led to think that either God has abandoned us, our God is punishing us for something. That's interpretation. That apparently bad experience, that loss, that sickness, that losing your job, you give meaning to it and you wonder why at this time. That's interpretation. And in many times, as many of you will realize, the Almighty God is brought into the picture in respect to, is it God's working that this has happened to me? Or is it the devil tempting me? The lesson on blessing that ultimately turned out to be cursed, and curse that turned out to be blessing, has to do too with interpretation. And the lesson, when it part was preached weeks or months ago and tonight, is to help us make sure that with the knowledge we gain from God's word, we give the right interpretation to things. Many things which brings us joy and laughter, and things which in appearance look like great blessings, many of those things may afterward bring us years of pain or misery or eternal misery. That is, things in this life that initially, at first, we are so joyous over them. They give us smile. Many of those things afterward may bring us years of pain and misery and sometimes eternal misery. And conversely, many things which at first bring us sorrow, tears, and may appear as curse, may bring us eternal joy and peace. I think in the last lesson we brought in the loss of Joseph to Jacob. From all indication, at least, temporarily, Jacob might have been hard on the Almighty God, because Jacob loved none of the children as he loved Joseph, and he was lost. Of course, his son told him a lie, that he was eaten up by wild beasts. You don't forget something like that in a day or a week or a month if you are a parent. You dream about it. You are tormented when you think of what that beloved son has gone through. Jacob went through all of that. But all of this experience turned out to be great blessing. Wrong, evil was done to Joseph, no doubt. But it turned out to be blessing. Be the experience under consideration that we are talking about, be that involved people, things, be they come from our experiences, be it sickness or health, accident, failures, tragedy, does it involve my job, money, profession, poverty, wealth? Don't be deceived by the initial joy or sorrow that they bring. I need to repeat this. Whatever you experience in life, be that experience coming from people or things, coming from our experience, it might be illness or health, it might be accident, it might be failure, it might be tragedy, it might be your job, money, it might be your profession. It might be your business, your wife, your husband, your children. It might be success. It might be poverty. It might be wealth. I am saying to you, don't be deceived by the initial, that upfront impression that they make on you. Be that experience upfront impression, joy or sorrow, that is not the determining fact of anything that comes our way that we are going to say this is a blessing. Yes, we use that term because many things appear as blessing. And may I? Don't stop giving God thanks from when things come your way that there are good things in your eyes. Don't stop giving God thanks. But sometimes afterward, that very thing brings us sorrow and tears. May I? Whether they help you to get closer, are farther away from God, are bring out your faith and commitment, that is what determines whether they are curse or blessing.
anything. It's the ultimate effect, the ultimate outcome of that thing on your life and on your relationship with God that determines whether they are curse or blessing.
Very important.
A bad, ungodly, selfish, wicked husband may turn out to be a blessing. A bad, selfish, evil wife may turn out to be a blessing. A failed or successful business may turn out to be a blessing or a curse. Either a business that failed or a business that succeed. The one that succeeds may look like a blessing at first, but it may turn out to be your curse. Are we all there? Because step by step it comes between you and Christ. A failed business may turn out to be your success because it helped you to trust more in God. A wicked, selfish husband may drive you closer to Jesus Christ and help you to become more faithful. A wife that is just not good or not the right thinking may help you to get closer to God and depend more on God. You see, the ultimate effect that anything has on us, that is what determines whether they are curse or blessing. May I? A good job. Yes, give God thanks for it when you get a good job. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell, answer. I don't know. It depends on where it directs you. It depends on the effect it has on you and your relationship with God. When Jesus Christ pointed out that if your right hand, that even your eye, you know, Christ picked members of our bodies that are so essential and important. And he said, if they offend you, pluck out, cut off. Huh? And what Jesus Christ was doing there is that serving God rightly, properly, and ending up in heaven, you must put premium worth on that. So if your eyes, your hand, your mouth comes in the way, find something to put that eyes or mouth under heavy manners. Job's loss, failure, tragedies appear as curse. None of us want to go through what Job went through. None of us. Of course, when we look at how things turn out for Job, we wouldn't mind if things turn out like that for us, but we don't want to go through what he went through to get that. You see, truly. We want the end result, but the price that is paid. The man did sing, what a price I have to pay. Yes, Fats Domino, I know it's Fats Domino. That's right. We don't want to pay the price that Job paid. But brothers and sisters,
It appears all that Job went through, and that man went through. That's why so many people want to make the lesson on Job fiction. When you read Job, that's not fiction, that is real. As my friend would say, the man went through hell dear head. It looked like curse, and in a sense it was. But the bottom line, you know what? It was blessing. Why was it blessing, Brother Mitchell? It brought out total trust and total yielding to God by Job. Huh? Let us look at chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Job 1, 21 and 22.
And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
and naked shall I return thither.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Now, if Job had said these words while things were going well, they wouldn't have the meaning they now have. You see, what you have here in 1, chapter 1, is a preview, sort of the ultimate outcome of the man's life. And it's really at the end of his life when he lost all. Chapter 1 is giving you a type of preview. When he has lost all, wealth, health, wife, children, name it, that Job realized that all belonged to the Almighty God, all that he previously possessed. And the Almighty God had all the right to take them from him. When a man go through what Job went through and can say this of the Almighty God, then he has been proven. So all that bitter experience and loss was a curse, because it put Job through the fiery test and the man come out looking good. Look at 13 through 16.
13 through.
Same Job, chapter 13.
Hold your peace.
Hold your peace.
Let me alone.
Let me alone.
That I may speak.
That I may speak.
And let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth?
That's a question. Mm-hmm.
Really? And put my life in mine hand.
Mm-hmm.
Though he slay me.
Though God slay me. That is, Job was considering what he was going through. And as if it were God was slaying him, killing him, stripping him down to the bareness of his individuality. Though he slay me,
yet will I trust in him.
I'm still going to trust in God. Job's wealth didn't bring this out. Job had his young men, his boys running about him and going about and having his wife beside him, didn't bring this out. It's the peril and the suffering and the loss that he went through that brought this out. That loss was a blessing. Though God slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Delilah and the Philistine evil to Samson appear as curse. But were they cursed? That's the way it appeared. I would want to go through Samson's experience. No husband would want his wife to do what Delilah did to Samson. Of course, Delilah did not know initially the evil that the Philistine would do to Samson. But that apart, just briefly, Samson, we're not going to read these passages. I'm just picking out some highlights of this man's life. Here is a young man. All of life before him. This man was blessed. This young man was blessed beyond imagination. May I? There was no challenge Samson faced that he was not able to deal with. And at that time, Samson had the kind of resource that the then world needed, physical strength. A lion came out of the man. He tore the lion in a few pieces, like the lion was a young kid. That's strength. That's a challenge. That is found in 14:5. He met a nice young lady and planned a 1 week feast. They brought 30 champions. He gets them a riddle. And they went and threatened his fiancée or his wife with death if she didn't find out from Samson what the answer was. In fact, I like something about this. Let us turn to 14:9-10 following. Judges, that is. Chapter 14.
And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother.
He took on, that is, after the lion. Here's a young man. You can imagine, as country people would say, how Samson had his tail in his back. I mean, you know, he had everything a young man could want. So some months ago, he killed this lion who came out at him. And he kept that a secret. He didn't tell his parents. And some months after he was passing, so he stepped aside to see what happened to the carcass of the lion, or the bear, whatever it was. And of course, he discovered that it had decayed naturally, and bees use it as their apiary, make honey. Samson just go and pour some of the honey, the comb that contains the honey, and went on his way eating honey. Read, Brother Webb.
And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating.
That is the honey. Read.
And came to his father and mother,
mm-hmm.
and he gave them.
gave his mother and father honey.
And they did eat.
Mm-hmm.
But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
Mm-hmm.
So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast.
That is a 1 week feast. You talk about running boat. Here you have it. Read, brother.
For so use the young men to do.
That's the way young men celebrate finding the lady at their eyes. Then they plan feast. In this case, it was a 1 week feast. Read on.
And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with
they
him.
They brought 30 champions. Read.
And Samson said unto them,
mm-hmm.
I will now put forth a riddle
mm-hmm.
unto you, if he can certainly declare
no, it. Now, tongue people, sorry. Tongue people are not as educated as we country people. Because when I was growing up, I mean, my God, a riddle, our parents could really put forth a riddle. And it was a joy to listen to them. Well, here you have it, Samson, put forth a riddle. Let us hear it, brother.
If he can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you...
In other words, if you, within the 7 days that we'll be here celebrating, if you can tell me the answer to my riddle,
I will give you 30 sheets
mm-hmm.
and 30 change of garments.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets.
The 30 men will have to give him the same if they are unable to tell him the riddle.
And 30 change of garments.
Uh-huh.
And they said unto him,
mm-hmm.
put forth thy riddle.
Yes, let us hear your riddle, Samson.
That we may hear it.
You can just imagine, the, you know, as a country person, here you have a crowd of young men enjoying themselves. And here you have this one who stand out because the Almighty God had given him immense strength that has never been found in any other person previous to or after Samson. They were enjoying themselves, and he did guess his riddle. Read.
And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness.
Now, the eater here, it's E-A-T-E-R. Out of he are that which love to eat. Out of he are that which love food. That's the concept here. Out of the eater came forth
meat.
Meat.
And out of the strong came forth sweetness.
You see, the riddle is taken from his experience with the lion. That's right. It's going to give them a hard time to guess that riddle. Read, brother.
And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife.
Now, they said unto Samson's wife,
entice thy husband,
mm-hmm.
that he may declare unto us the riddle,
mm-hmm.
lest we burn thee.
They had the audacity to threaten the man's wife. What we are looking at, you know, is the highlight, some of the highlight of Samson's joyous days. Mm-hmm.
Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Have ye called us to take what we have?
In other words, did he pose that riddle to us to take away from us what we have? That's the interpretation they gave to it. Read.
Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him
mm-hmm.
and said.
Now this is the part I like. she's going to cry on her husband's shoulder to tell her what the answer to the riddle is. He's going to point out that he has not even shared this business with his father. Read on, brother.
And said, "Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle."
You know, brother, when I find that people do not change. In other words, look how you are treating me. You don't love me. Wives will talk just like that today. The man telling you or not telling you the riddle have nothing to do with love. Truly, truly. But she was just, of course, she was intelligent. Because she was appealing to his feeling and emotion. And it's going to work. And I'm going to work. Read on.
"Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me."
I think this was a Philistine wife. Read.
"And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days.
Yes, you know, stop crying at all.
While their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore.
Samson going to suffer for this. Bitterly. But let me run on. So first we have the lion as a challenge. Samson didn't see it as a challenge because of the strength God gave him. We have the 30 men to whom he posed the riddle and who literally passed their place when they went and threatened his wife. He's going to kill these 30 men. One man against 30? Yes. Then he's going to use the jawbone of a donkey to kill 1,000 men. That was no challenge to Samson. When the Philistine heard that he had come to Gaza to visit his girlfriend, that was an opportunity for them to kill Samson. In those times, every city was built with walls. And there were times when night comes, when the gate of the city closed. And the gate was closed, and they knew that Samson was inside. They are going to kill him. Samson just strategically wait at the right spot. And probably a little past midnight, when those who were watching for him, the man didn't burst on the gate. He lift up. Remember, in those times, you see the little gate we have on our place, like we have one right here entering the church premises. It will take a lot of strength for any one of us to lift up those two sides. Because see, that's not the type of gate that was in existence in Samson's time. Those gates were with hundreds upon hundreds of pounds. And when Samson became aware that they were awaiting him to kill him, he lifted up the gate and the post and all. Are we all there? All this is to point out that here is a young man who he could laugh with himself. His tail was in his back. It looked like a blessing. But ladies and gentlemen, what happened to him with Delilah at the end, that appears like a curse. But in effect, that's going to be the blessing. For example, because of Samson's strength, He drifted towards finding a wife among the Philistines. He should never have done that. Never have done that. But it was that which appeared as blessing in his life that made him be the don't care young man that we have. And that which now after he was sold out by Delilah and lost his eyes, that looked like curse. Let us have it quick, brother. Chapter 16, verse 19 through 21.
And she made him sleep on her knees.
Mm-hmm.
And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head.
Mm-hmm. Remember, the Bible tells us about the Nazarite vow, that no shaving instrument should put on their hair. Samson took the Nazarite vow. And all this time courting with this lady, he had never told her. He's not supposed to. We have seen, I have, you might not have, I have, problem in more than one congregation. Problem among the leaders, where either the elders met and discussed church business and come to a decision, or the faithful men met and discussed church business and came to a decision, and by one of them went home and discussed with his wife what was discussed, and when she finished with him, by the time the men meet again, it was, as we say in the country, it was decant. What he consented to and be a part of in previous discussion, he now changed his mind because his wife changed it for him. Samson should not have told his wife where the secret of his strength lies. And that's going to be costly for him. Read, brother.
And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him.
His strength went from him. Read. And what verse is that?
That was 19.
Read.
And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson."
Mm-hmm.
And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before."
It will not be as other time before. It will not be. Read, brother.
And he shake himself, and he wist not with the Lord was departed from him.
Do you get it? Samson and God had an agreement. Don't cut your hair. That was a symbol of his strength between him and God. Delilah, this woman got the secret and told the Philistine. The Philistine didn't like Samson. Read.
But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes.
You understand? Remember, those days were barbaric days. They literally took out the man's eyes. Read.
And brought him down to Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And bound him with fetters of brass.
Mm-hmm.
And he did grind in the prison.
What verse is that?
21.
Stop at 21. This seems to be cursed. Look now at verse 27 through 28.
Now the house was full of men and women.
He is now at the temple of Dagon. Wait. I didn't tell you when we started Samson that the Almighty God had raised up Samson to take vengeance on the Philistine. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. The Almighty God had supplied Samson with this enormous strength for Samson to deal with the Philistine in easing the pressure that the Philistine put on the Israelite God's people. But Samson incapacitated himself. You have just read a little part there, brother. Read it quick again.
Now the house was full of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Lord...
What house? That was the house of Dagon, the church of the Philistine, the temple of the Philistine. It was full of men and women. But wait. Not only are there people, the top leaders and dignitaries of the Philistine was there. Read, brother.
And all the lords of the Philistine.
There you have it. All the lords of the Philistine
were there.
Were there.
And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women.
Wait. Y'all hear that? That is upon the balcony. It's not counting the main auditorium, you know. That's upon the balcony. 3,000. Read.
That beheld while Samson made sport.
Uh-huh. That is, they used Samson as entertainment. He was blind. And he had been a thorn in the flesh of the Philistine. Read.
And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God.
Watch here now. Uh-huh. O Lord God.
Remember me. I pray.
Wait, brother. May I? The Almighty God never forgotten Samson. It was Samson who had forgotten God. And a lot of times, that which comes our way as blessing, little by little push God not only out of our memory, but out of our time and our activities. Many times. The things in life, the secular things that come as blessing, become our curse because they take the place that belong to God. Let us watch it. Remember me, O God. God didn't forget you. You forget God. And you are paying the price now. Because the strength that God gave you as blessing, you make it become a curse. And the punishment and the suffering you are now going through, that look like curse, is going to be a blessing. Read.
I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee.
Mm-hmm.
Only this one.
Remember, his strength had been gone. Huh? Huh? Remember too that strength was meant for him to bring the Philistine under subjection. That they would not be the thorn in the flesh of the Israelites had they have been. But Samson was too gallanting, as country people would say. Read, brother.
I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
You see, what is going to get done now at his death is what God had expected him to do when he was in his prime. that strength, that awesome strength. When he killed the 3,000 men with the jawbone of the ass, the donkey, those were Israel's enemy. That's what he was there for. I think he was the 13th judge. He was one of the judges. What he just said there, this one.
O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars.
That's the column. The building was so built that there were two columns that bear the weight, the main structure, the main weight of the structure. Samson asks that he be placed there. Read.
Two middle pillars upon which the house stood,
mm-hmm.
and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left.
Mm-hmm. That is, he stood between these two main pillars. The building was so designed that these two column pillars bore the weight, the main weight of that. You don't have to guess that it's a large building, and the balcony, by referred to it as the roof, 3,000 were there just at that place. Read.
And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might.
Mm-hmm.
And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein.
Mm-hmm.
So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his lifetime.
I like that. I like all that word, because it tells what the life of Samson, as I said, was meant by God, that the blessing that was given to him, his strength, be used for God's purpose. Are we all there? But it wasn't. Not to the extent that God wants. And here, when suffering came that looked like curse, it was that suffering that caused Samson to carry out his God's purpose and his God's mission. That losing his two eyes, etc., etc., was a blessing. Because it caused Samson to remember God and to go back in prayer to God. Time has gone. There are a few more biblical illustrations that I would like to be able to share, but you know, one last passage, and this is in respect to the good and the bad experiences of the Israelites were tests to bring out or to prove the Israelite. It's no less for us. It's no less for us, the things that come in your life or my life that apparently look like curse, and some of the things that look like blessing. Let us watch their ultimate outcome on our lives and on our relationship with God, Christ, and the church. That is the test. Look at, and this will be the last passage, Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do,
mm-hmm.
that ye may live and multiply,
mm-hmm.
and go in and possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee.
Listen, read.
Which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
All the ups and downs that the Israelites went through, there were times when it seems their lives were jeopardized. There were times that they were dying for water. There were times that they were hungry, that they called for the leeks and the garlics and the vegetable of Egypt. All of this, the Almighty God was just testing them. God tests us too. Let us equip ourselves with the truth from God's word that we may pass the test. Let us be careful what interpretation we give to the things which happens to us or the things which come our way. Many things which appear as blessing, they will be blessing if they help you to get closer to God. But they will be cursed if they little by little come between you and your faithfulness to Christ. It is what they do to you, the effect they have on that important relationship with Christ, that is what determines whether they be blessing or whether they be cursed. Jonah in the whale's belly looked like judgment has come. But it helped Jonah to go about his God-given mission with faithfulness the second time. Curse can turn out, that which appears as curse can turn out, as it is in many cases, to be blessing. And that which appears as blessing can turn out, as it is in many cases, as curse. It is within our power to determine what they will be. Thank you.